Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcast. This is going to be podcast 499, live in the studio after a long all-night production session getting the Bob Davis Podcast radio show up and running for this week. So in this podcast, episode 26 of the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Now, we have had variable weather, as we always do every spring in Minnesota and in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We had one or two warm days. I think we had kind of a warm week, and then it just kind of petered out, and we've had 50 and 60-degree weather. So I don't think too many people called Ryan Plumbing and Heating to have their AC checked. But here's the thing. If you have a business or, you know, if you're concerned about your home air conditioning systems, but I would say especially for business, it's a good idea to have Ryan Plumbing come out and check the heating and air conditioning system, the AC check for spring. Here's why. Sometimes that box outside has to be checked. Sometimes you have issues. And if you're in business, you got to have your AC. And if you're at home and you're a Minnesotan, you got to have your AC, because once it gets over 70, people start wanting to turn it on, and you want to make sure it works. So for an AC check, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul, and that means the suburbs too. Wherever you are in the metro, they can get a plumber near you. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And I also mention, even though we're talking about that climate change that we call summer coming, and it will come, and it will get hot, and it will be unbearable because it always is. And that's why you got to have AC that works. But I also mentioned Ryan Plumbing and Heating for emergency service, because they do great emergency service. I was hanging out with Greg Ryan a couple of weeks ago, and he was checking his messages, and people were calling in saying, hey, I got a problem. I just want to have somebody get back to me. So if you have an emergency, you know how it is. When there's a plumbing emergency, you want to get a hold of somebody and have them call. So, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. They do it right. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, or online at ryanplumbing.com. Okay, so this is Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show number 26. This was a weird show, and you'll hear me explain that. There's a lot of original content in this show, more than normally, because I'm really struggling with this tribal problem in politics. And I don't need to elaborate, because I really do elaborate in this episode of the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show, which is heard on The Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul, AM 1280 at 4 p.m. on Saturdays. And as we get new affiliates, I'll let you know. And the purpose of the show is to let people know what the podcasts are and how deep we can go in the podcast, but also to kind of bring some of the issues that we talk about in the podcasts to the radio. So here we go. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Welcome. So I'm a podcaster and talk show host, and the mission of this show is to bring content from my podcast, the Bob Davis Podcast, back to the radio. And I'm in the studio with my creaky chair. I love my creaky chair. Every radio station I've ever worked at has had a creaky chair, so now I have one in the studio. So this was a very interesting week. We had kind of a period of time where not that much happened, and then suddenly a bunch of stuff happened. So we had the Indiana primary a week ago, a little more than a week ago, and, well, 2 weeks ago. And, you know, then we had the withdrawal of Ted Cruz and John Kasich. And then this week, Donald Trump just killed it in Nebraska and West Virginia, which kind of literally closed off any possibility that Ted Cruz would get back in the race, or at least he says that now. So Trump is now credited with something like 1,134 delegates. He only needs 100 more delegates, and he'll be able to clinch the Republican nomination on the first ballot, or so the story goes. I don't like calling him the presumptive nominee because I think there's an awful lot of hoops that are going to have to be jumped through between now and the convention, and maybe he will jump through them, but, you know, the word presumptive is presumptive. So what's ahead primary-wise? May 17th, Oregon, with 28 delegates that are awarded proportionally. May 24th, Washington, with 44 delegates awarded proportionally. Now, the whole thing with these proportional states is I don't know who's on the ballots. I don't know whether Cruz is still going to be on the ballot, whether Kasich is still going to be on the ballot, or how that's going to work. Then on June 7th, California, with 172 delegates awarded proportionally. Montana, with 27 delegates, is a winner-take-all state, whatever that means, because when you hear winner-take-all, it can mean any number of things. Good examples, Pennsylvania. New Jersey, 142 delegates, also a winner-take-all state. New Mexico, 24 proportionally awarded delegates. And South Dakota, with 29 delegates, winner-take-all. So, yes, Donald Trump may have enough delegates to win the Republican nomination before California, but it remains to be seen just how many Trump delegates are going to show up at the convention for Trump. Again, calling him the presumptive nominee is presumptive because it all matters about the delegates and the rules when it comes to the RNC in Cleveland this summer. It depends on what the relationship between Donald Trump and the quote-unquote establishment is at that time. So what happened this week that I think is significant? This week, Ted Cruz has submitted his request to hang on to his 500 or so delegates. Cruz operatives are going to be working to elect Cruz committed delegates at congressional and state conventions on successive ballots if something happens on the first ballot. I know Rubio is going to be hanging on to his delegates so far, and I haven't heard what Kasich intends to do. You may have, but I haven't. And then there's this feud between the establishment and Donald Trump, which I think is a big if. Late this week, we had the big summit between Speaker of the House and Chair of the Republican National Convention, Paul Ryan, and Donald Trump. One network actually included a ridiculous countdown clock just before the two men met. This is what serves as news coverage. It's like a cartoon. And joint statements say that the two of them, Ryan and Trump, are getting unified, but then scuttlebutt in the Trump campaign says otherwise. There's going to be a lot more of this as we get closer and closer to the convention. And this is what we're talking about. We're still not talking about issues because people have already attached themselves to personalities. There's just not much talk about issues. Is your guy the guy? If your guy is the guy, you're thrilled. But conservative, liberal, libertarian, Republican, Democrat, socialist, none of it really means anything anymore. But then people have divided into Trump camps, Cruz camps, Sanders camps, and Clinton camps, depending on how they identify with a personality. So I think most Americans are becoming increasingly tribal when it comes to politics. And because of that conclusion, I was actually shocked this week to hear that Imam Glenn Beck claimed Donald Trump is going to be the next president. This is the guy who thought Ted Cruz was the next George Washington. This is the guy who recommended prayer and fasting for his guy Cruz so he could win the nomination. This is the guy who said Ted Cruz was going to be the next president. This is the guy who was absolutely committed to Ted Cruz. Now he's saying Donald Trump isn't just the presumptive nominee. We're going to go one step further and say he's the next president. Anything to stay relevant if you're in the media. So yeah, we live in a world where the media, all media, seems increasingly committed to predicting the future. So sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between news videos on CNN and Fox or NBC, CBS, and ABC, those mainstream accepted news sources where we think we're getting the quote-unquote truth, and videos from propaganda sources like RT, which is Russia Today, hello, conspiracy videos about the Illuminati on YouTube or the end of the world, a giant planet lurking behind our sun, the prophetic sounds of trumpets being heard around the world, the U.S. military and Walmart teaming up with FEMA, weather control through HAARP and chemtrails, and the fact, well, the allegation that Prince was murdered by the Illuminati for exposing chemtrails. This is all the stuff that has showed up on my YouTube feed. What am I watching? I don't even know. Anyway, lots of people getting their news from YouTube, Facebook, and their Twitter feed. So substantive issues really aren't getting any treatment. There's really no pertinent factual reporting. In other words, reporting where you're dealing with a general objective set of facts so that everybody can understand the issues. That's a relic of the past. You are either for Trump, you are for Cruz, you are for Hillary, you are for Bernie. You know, you have people already doing, I don't know if you saw this video this week on Facebook of the woman running down the street ripping out the Trump signs, but that's news. I mean, that's what goes on. What are the ins and outs of trade protection? Well, if you just wait for a meme, that'll tell you everything you need to know, right? You're not going to hear about that on the evening news. What would be involved in actually destroying ISIS? Well, we're not going to hear about that. That's too complicated. A presumptive nominee for the Republicans is championing minimum wage, some kind of universal health care, trade protection, and infrastructure projects that, quote, will make America great again. Now, my understanding is that was President Obama's agenda. How did this happen? Part of the answer may be in the media that we watch and the friends we keep. It might just be a matter of which gang we belong to and the weird sort of bizarre nature of American politics. So this is going to be a little bit different show for GCN Live this week because I spent a lot of time in the podcast this week talking about the media and talking specifically about digital media and what comes up on your Facebook feed and what comes up on your Twitter feed and what comes up on YouTube. Because, you know, YouTube is now just about 10 years old and these sources are starting to reach a critical mass, especially with the now new phones that are much more powerful, whether you have an Android device or an iPhone. And the fact that you can just sit, you can lie in bed or you can sit in a chair and you can just use, you can watch TV on your smartphone if you choose to. I have a brand new iPhone 6 that I love and it's huge. I mean, it's just a gigantic phone and I can watch TV on that. And I used to think that was crazy. Like who would do a thing like that? And yet I've adapted to doing that. So the idea of sitting and watching cable television news even or listening to talk radio has been completely blown up by digital media. So we're going to talk about the effects of that a little bit in this show. Coming up, the news media is like the old AM top 40 radio stations that kept playing the same tired songs over and over again. Don't tell me something new. Tell me what I want to hear next. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, go to thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Show them your flame to the fire. It's spraying like your name on a flyer. They want to tame your desire, but you light it up, now your aim getting higher. I they wait for Messiah, but until that day, I'm going to rise up high. I put my light in the air. I want to see everywhere. Now you want to let me see you. Just ahead of the second segment of the Bob Davis Podcast's radio show, episode 26, just want to remind everybody that xgovernmentcars.com is where Mobile Podcast Command came from, the Ford 450 Super Duty ambulance. I've had three Crown Vics, and I now have, of course, the Mobile Podcast Command unit, which, by the way, I'm getting ready to take out this summer, and I'm accepting contributions at thebobdavispodcast.com for. But here's why I love xgovernmentcars.com. I originally went there because I needed a car. I didn't have a lot of money, and I didn't think buying a new car made much sense. And I knew that they had fleet-maintained government cars, which were made ready for people like me. So this is when I started with my 2001 Crown Vic, and then I had a 2003, and now I have a 2007. And then at one point, I want to get a van. And Ed Johnson from X Government Cars said, wait a minute, we're going to get you an ambulance. And in the process, the other thing that xgovernmentcars.com started to do was carry trucks. And now they have this giant Mega Truck Center and ex-government car center, which is open in Forest Lake, Minnesota. They're at 356 19th Street. It is a huge one-acre lot that shows you what a tremendous selection they have of Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyota trucks, and more. But here's the main thing. Aside from the work trucks, the SUVs, the vans, and of course the great ex-government cars, the Crown Vicks, the Chargers, the Impalas, the Ford Police sedans, and eventually the Ford Police SUVs, they also have great financing. They can take any level of credit. They can get you financed. They can get you in a car. They pay the highest values every day for trades. They always want me to say that. And then, of course, you get the three-day peace of mind guarantee, which means they're going to help you after the sale, and you have 3 days. And if you don't like the car, you can just take it back. So you buy with confidence. Once again, xgovernmentcars.com, xgovernmenttrucks.com in Forest Lake. Huge one-acre lot with a lot of selection in Forest Lake, Minnesota at 356 19th Street. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyotas, and more. 763-777-8782 or online at xgovernmentcars.com. And yeah, I got the bullhorn in the radio show. Here we go.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Okay, so here is the second segment of this week's Bob Davis podcast radio show. I am live in the studio, so I'm just gonna hit the button. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast radio show. Welcome back. So one of my favorite things to do on warm spring nights, in fact, I do it all summer, is I take all my equipment out. I got a special mic and I go outside and I sit on the deck and I do a podcast. And one of my favorite things about the deck is I get the tiki torches out and I get the citronella candle out and I light everything up and I sit out there until, you know, the wee hours of the morning doing podcasts and talking to friends and stuff like that. And maybe it's the nature of politics these days or it's the tiki torches on the deck, but it sure seems to me like politics is getting more and more tribal these days. And, you know, I wonder who's responsible or what's responsible for it. Is it the media where you're getting a news feed and it's coming to you, but it's only the stuff that you want to see or hear? Or is it that we are the ones that seek out information and news sources that tell us what we want to hear? Or, you know, are we the ones that will only have conversations with people who agree with us, people who are part of our tribe? Now, I'll caution you. I've done as much as I can do to prevent too much sound from getting into this, like planes and things flying over. But there are planes flying over, even at 1 o'clock in the morning out there. It's a little early for the bugs, but that will be coming, and that always makes me feel good to hear. So you'll hear the sounds of the outside, because I was outside when I did this podcast this week. We're in between something happening right now, and we're in between some event that should be reported on, but because we have 24-hour news channels and 24-hour talk radio stations and news hosts who essentially have to come up with their own stuff every day, There's no actual information that provokes thought for you to think about. It's just stuff that feeds, you know, the what I would refer to as the tribal flames. It's just beating on the drum. It isn't necessarily a new sound for you to think about. And, you know, a good example of this is before the last few primaries, I was at a friend's party and I had a conversation with a guy that went on for like an hour where he just kept insisting. This is somebody who's fairly experienced and knowledgeable and part of the, you know, local Republican structure in a certain part of town, and just kept telling me that Ted Cruz was going to be the nominee. Ted Cruz is going to be the nominee. And I kept saying, you know, here's this piece of information. Here's this piece of information. Here's this piece of information. I don't think so. Here's why. And he just kept repeating over and over again. Yeah, he's going to get all the delegates and he's going to do this and this is going to happen off the, and you know, there you go. And so when the Cruz campaign suspended it was shocking to people because they believe information that reinforces their point of view in their tribal world. If you're not a part of a tribe, then they don't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear about you, and they don't. So if you go out and you talk to some Trump people and they don't think that you're a Trump person, they're not interested in what you have to say. If you go out and talk to some Cruz people, they don't want to hear what you have to say if they think you're a Trump person. And if you're on, if you're non-aligned, it's really hard to get people to listen because they want someone to reinforce their views. And this is also a part of the Democrat experience as well. You have older Clinton people that don't understand the Bernie Sanders people and vice versa. And so when it gets boiled down to it's the millennials and their cell phones, or it's the liberals and their panty waist ideas about bathrooms, or it's those, you know, conservatives who are racists, and everybody's in a tribe. Building bridges and single-payer health care and minimum wage issues are not prosperity creating tools. I mean, that's not the conversation. And I don't care what the problem is, inequality, foreign policy issues. We're not having conversations about that stuff. We're having arguments in which people are throwing out, you know, bromides. And so we're not working on the kinds of problems that we need to work on. And we're not creating the kinds of organizations that are going to spawn the kind of politicians that are going to be able to work on those problems or actually put pressure on politicians long enough for them to actually be able to start hashing out what needs to be done. And so the lack of knowledge about politics in general, just in my circle, is shocking. I mean, it's just, it's not even shocking anymore. I hate to use the word shocking because that's not even it. It's just sad. People can tell you all about the Constitution, but they can't explain economics or understand how people can be for the other guy, whoever the other guy is. And if they are for the other guy, they're stupid or they're evil or there's something wrong with them. And then you turn on the radio, or the 24-hour news channel or whatever, and that's all you hear. You know, if you're for this, you're asleep, and if you're for that, you're evil, and if you're for that, you're dumb, and this is why this is, and it's everybody's advocating, and everything is rhetorical, and it's not good. And so it makes it hard to talk about politics because here again, we're not hearing new opinion and new development. And I know because I look at this stuff every day and I see what goes on, and most of it is just a rehash and a clickbait headline that says Trump can win, or Trump is actually this, or Hillary Clinton is going to go to federal prison, or Hillary Clinton isn't going to go to federal prison, or whatever. How many times can we have that discussion? You know, how many times are we going to have the discussion about Hillary Clinton's email servers in the bathroom? Or how many times are we going to have the conversation about how Donald Trump is not a Republican, or whatever the thing is that somebody's going to type up and put out there, regardless of the source? I mean, how many times can you have that conversation? You know, you have people on the left, and as far as they're concerned, you know, they're all for equalizing and solving all the nation's problems through some sort of government solution, until the solution means they have to pay higher taxes themselves, or the train is coming through their backyard, or that somebody says that they're the filthy rich when they only make $250,000 a year or something like that. And then suddenly they're upset about it and they want something done. My favorite thing is here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, we have a thing called the Met Council, and the Met Council wants to put through this Southwest light rail line, which is going to go through some of the richest neighborhoods in Minneapolis, which are some of the most liberal neighborhoods in Minneapolis. And suddenly they are up in arms about this train, and they've suddenly discovered the Met Council as an evil entity. And it's like, conservatives have been talking about overreach of government power for a long time, and the left has been scoffing at that, and suddenly they are getting a front page lesson or a front row seat to government overreach in the form of the Met Council in Minneapolis and St. Paul. You know, as long as the discussion is politically correct, like making fun of Trump or talking about how great Tesla is, then you can have a conversation. But if you take a position that is somewhat hard-edged Suddenly friendly people become very unfriendly and cold. So no wonder people don't discuss stuff like this. And, you know, most of the time, that's when your crazy conservative guy is shunned, and then people talk about him after he leaves because they're very concerned about somebody saying something that the rest of the tribe doesn't want to hear. Next, more on the theme of tribalism in American politics. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Hi again from the studio, just ahead of the third segment of the Bob Davis Podcasts. Getting ready for the big air show this summer in Oshkosh, and it makes me think of pilots. And if you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, I'll be going to the air show, hopefully, with Alpha Systems. And Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. If you're a pilot, you know what I'm talking about. It's really great to have a visual, an electronic visual representation of your angle of attack as you turn on final approach. And if you go to the Alpha Systems website by clicking on the banners at the top of the Bob Davis podcasts.com. It's going to take you to their page. You're going to see a video that shows how it works. Plus, you're going to see lots of content about the fact that Alpha Systems has saved lives. So click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. It's FAA approved. They are getting it in more and more planes, avionics packages, and they want to get it in yours because it saves lives. Remember, click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the Bob Davis podcast.com for more info, Alpha Systems. And thanks you guys for being the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast.com. Okay, here's segment three. You're hearing the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. To hear more of this show, you visit gcnlive.com. To hear more of the Bob Davis Podcast, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. So, yeah, this is kind of a weird show because the past couple of weeks, having been big weeks in political news with wins for Trump in Indiana, followed by the suspension of the Cruz and Kasich campaigns, and then suddenly evidence of the rift in Republican circles appearing, it's been difficult for me because I don't hear much discussion about issues. I hear a lot of back and forth about what he said, she said. I hear a lot of media being generated based on comments. And I see people signing on to cults of personality, even though the fact is the primary season isn't even over yet, and people are already picking which chariot team they're going to be on. Nobody's talking about it right now, but they will as the summer progresses. This question of substance in the campaigns in 2016, and I just have a feeling there isn't going to be too much of it. Media of all kinds seems to be feeding the flames of political tribalism. And it kind of speaks to the mission for the Bob Davis Podcast and this show in this world where people sign on to a cult of personality and they feel compelled to defend that choice from here on in. So if you've signed on to one of the candidates and that becomes the nominee, that person becomes the nominee, and then they become the president, people are plugged in to defend this choice from here on in. And we're still not really talking about issues. We're still not planning the future for our country. We're just joining tribes. And the question is really, is this what you want? Increasingly, what people are signing on to are ready-made personality or issue-driven campaigns, literally cults of personality, tribes associated with personalities, rather than working to build strong organizations. Let's go back to the argument that Ted Cruz had with the blue-collar, the unemployed blue-collar steel guy in Indiana. He didn't really, and I don't think Ted Cruz should have gone out and argued with the guy on the issues, and I think it was a perfect example of what happens when you try to do that, because the guy said, hey, Lion Ted, the people of Indiana don't want you. He wasn't having an argument. He was just poking at him and saying things that he had heard over and over again, and Ted Cruz is trying to argue with the guy about something economic. You know, it just it although he was still spewing his own rhetoric, you know, it was a very interesting, it was two ships passing in the night, because we're not working to build strong organizations. We're just signing on to a personality driven, you know, idea. We're signing on to a cult of personality. And then you get into meetings and everybody's of a specific tribe, and you don't interface with anyone from any other walks of life, and anyone that might disagree with you or represent a lifestyle or point of view that's unacceptable to the rest of your tribe. And so you're in the Crips or the Bloods, period. And never the two shall meet, right? In terms of media, the mission of these podcasts is to provide some perspective. It's becoming the mission, especially in this election year, instead of being tied to a candidate or issue or tribe. Certainly my bias is literally, I've said it that I'm becoming an anarchist, in the sense that I think it's a perfect place to start and say we shouldn't have any government, you know, because then if you zero base it, it becomes a whole question of, well, how much government do we want to have and what exactly do we want to have it do? And I'm becoming more tied to that idea than anything else. I'm becoming more focused on the kind of future we're going to have and getting people focused on building that future, rather than on the other side. I think there's a lot of people that want to go back to 1959. I think there's a lot of people that are looking backward in a wistful way to a time that is never going to come back, or to a dystopian view of enforced equality where the government or some other, you know, entity fixes all things that are wrong and solves all wounds. No one is talking about the in-between, where we actually are going to have to solve problems or even to suggest solutions. It's just, you're in this tribe or you're in that tribe and we don't like you and you don't like us, and that's that. I interface with a lot of people that, you know, say things to me politically, and I listen, and I don't say anything. I just, you know, or I might throw one or two things out because they can't go deep on it, and they don't want to. And I'm not talking about necessarily liberals. I'm talking about people on right, on the right and left. And even that paradigm is a joke. You know, up, down, right, left, liberal, conservative. Nobody even knows what it means anymore. And I don't even think those are meaningful words anymore. I mean, you have a Republican candidate who is advocating for universal health care, minimum wage, and infrastructure development, which is essentially what Barack Obama advocated for. And this guy is the quote-unquote presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, and people think he's anti-establishment, when in reality, what's he saying that's any different from what's already being talked about right now, or what's actually being enacted by the current administration? It's fascinating, and people think that he's anti-establishment. It's bizarre. So the podcast format, whether it's audio or video, is the perfect venue for talking about this stuff, because it's very difficult to have a conversational presentation in radio or television, because there's simply no time for it. You're dealing with formatting. It's like writing a screenplay that, you know, the average screenplay is 120, 130 pages. Each page represents a minute. You've got a beginning, a middle, and an end, and you've got to tie all the things together, and you've got to climax the story at a specific point. And so the screenplay format, which almost every movie is written in, you know, if you're a writer, you learn that you got to work with that format, and that's just how it is. That's the medium that you're working in. Well, podcasting is a different medium from broadcast television or radio, and that's why I don't like making it. I don't want to make podcasts like the radio. I mean, what I'm doing with the radio show is taking excerpts from the podcast to tease these deeper discussions, whatever they are and whatever shape they take, in the podcast, whether it's me or whether I'm interviewing somebody or having a conversation with somebody. And it's actually an eye-opener of what I can get into in 10 minutes. You know, I can certainly discuss these topics in 10 minutes. I've done it for years. I know how to do it. But to go deeper and get it all said isn't possible in the radio format. And even in this format, I now am at the point where I have to organize my ideas. I can't just sit here. I mean, I do occasionally, but I can't just sit here and talk about stuff, because I can't get it all out, because we're in this sort of really fluid time when it's really hard to get a handle on what it is. And I know, because I have conversations all day with people. And you can only cover so much ground. You know, it's one of the reasons I'm hoarse sometimes when I do these podcasts, because it isn't just because I'm breathing in yoga. It's because I've been on the phone all day. And that's one of the reasons the podcasts have been so prescient, because I've had the time to figure all this stuff out. And big shout out to my son, who's doing stuff in L.A. With YouTube. He and I have really complex, long discussions, and we have sussed a lot of this stuff out long before it actually happens. And it's kind of fun because he takes parts of the conversation and does his thing, and then I take parts of the conversation and do my things. I don't have to talk about Trump and the fight in the GOP because I've already talked about it, as I said earlier. I don't have to engage in the he's gonna type discussion because I already did it, or I am able to wait until the whatever is gonna happen actually happens, and then we can predicate the discussion of what we think about that. Once again, if you're on a steady diet of that stuff, then you are woefully uninformed and you're not using your tools correctly. You're not using your smartphone correctly, because it doesn't matter where you are in the political spectrum. You're still getting crappy information because you're just getting rehashes and repeats. We really need to begin to understand the idea of discerning what is real information and what isn't, because you have to work in a factual world to solve problems. Coming up, a digital information revolution is in full swing. How do you think more and more powerful smartphones, as I've talked about in this show already, social media and YouTube are changing people's worldview? You might be surprised. To hear all the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. To hear more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts Radio Show. Back in the studio. I loved just sitting here listening to the show, the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show, episode 26. We're just ahead of the fourth segment. And once again, if you have emergency service issues, if you need emergency service with plumbing, heating, or air conditioning, don't forget ryanplumbing.com, 651-224-4771 in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. For four generations, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Ask him about the AC check before it gets hot. You'll be glad you did. And don't forget, for emergency service, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Don't forget that the big xgovernmentcars.com 1-acre lot with the huge selection is now open in Forest Lake, Minnesota at 356 19th Street. 356 19th Street. Ford, Chevy, Dodges, Toyotas, and more. Work trucks, SUVs, vans, and of course the great ex-government cars, the Crown Vicks, the Chevy Impalas, the Dodge Chargers, the Ford Police sedans, and the Ford Police SUVs. Expeditions, Yukons, 3-day peace of mind guarantee, highest values paid every day for trades without a bunch of BS, and of course the 3-day peace of mind guarantee. xgovernmentcars.com, 763-777-8782, and here's the bullhorn.
xgovernmentcars.com.
All right, here we go. Let's get back to segment four of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Remember, for all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit gcnlive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. So how many of you think there's something wrong in this election year? How many of you feel uneasy about the primary elections going on across the country? Maybe nobody does. Maybe it's just me. How many of you are confused or concerned about confusion when it comes to whether the primary elections choose the candidates, in other words, the popular vote, or they're just another element of the delegate selection and convention process for the mainline parties? How many of you would like to hear more balanced discussion on issues using facts rather than rhetoric? Have you had this experience? You're used to and enjoy going to a political meeting, let's say, or hanging out and having political discussions with people you agree with. And you feel pretty smart on the issues until that moment when you interact with someone who might disagree with you vehemently on every issue, and then you feel that your arguments are falling apart. Now, I've had that experience, and it's pretty sobering when you realize that your arguments have been honed only with people that you agree with, and the information you sought out to buttress your arguments was from sources that agreed with you. You were never able to develop arguments that addressed the other side or to anticipate arguments that might come from the other side, you know, people who don't agree with you, because you've only been watching videos or reading articles or seeing memes that agree with your side of the story. That's happened to me, and it's not fun when it happens. And it's interesting because when it happened to me, I thought, well, why is this happening? So here's a question for you. How do you think that we're going to be able to solve problems as Americans if we can't talk to each other? You might say, well, what kinds of problems? Well, immigration. There's two sides to the story. Economics, the use of state power, which is a big issue with some conservatives. Allocation of resources, which is a big issue with both sides. Taxation, which is a big issue with both sides. Business regulation, foreign policy and defense. And all of these things have facts, and they have opinions, and they have different points of view on all sides of the fence. Security rights and the Constitution, political organization buildings, Homeland Security, all of those things. How much talk have you heard about these issues in detail with substance in this election season, aside from the rhetoric or something that we would call bromides? Why is this happening? A digital information revolution is in full swing worldwide. It started roughly 10 years ago. YouTube was introduced in 2005. It isn't just YouTube, but it's all sorts of services, and it's gathered momentum since then. Digital video, video online on your computer, but especially on your portable device. Facebook, which started out as something that you wrote, you responded, you commented, is now something that you like videos on. It's almost completely videos. Video on Twitter, on Snapchat, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and especially on YouTube. YouTube is becoming the default news source worldwide, a place where the only hierarchy is number of views, likes, comments, and subscribes. More and more people are getting their news this way these days. They're going to YouTube on their phones, and they're typing in a subject on the search line, and they're getting videos from all over the place, CNN, Fox, InfoWars. Sometimes I lie down and I just watch videos on YouTube because I don't want to sit up and watch TV anymore, so I watch this. Or videos done by regular everyday people. They either listen to them or they watch them, and it's all jumbled up into one big sort of mess. And there are some themes for you to look for, to think about. I've talked about tribes in politics a couple of times in these podcasts recently, and I've learned that people don't like thinking they're part of a tribe. They don't want to be told that perhaps they're part of a tribe. What's a tribe? It's a social division in a traditional society. We don't think of modern society as tribal, but if you think of the definition is families or communities linked by social, economic, religious, or blood ties, with a common culture and dialect, typically having a recognized leader. Well, that can describe parts of our society and parts of our political process very accurately. What happens when you challenge that community, that sense of common culture, that tribal base? When you tell people what they want to hear, they welcome you and they love you. When you go against that, even if you're a respected member of the tribe, you are going to be shunned. Now, recently in podcast, I've emphasized an increasing tribal cant to our politics in this country. Different groups demonize each other, often with the same, in the same political spectrum. We've seen people on one side accuse people on the other side of the same thing, and they're both on the right side or the left side of the political spectrum. There's lots of cult-like special information that is gleaned from special sources only available to members of the tribe. You know, newsletters or Facebook pages or bloggers or some of the very videos that I played for you. Or maybe it was CNN, or maybe it was something on Facebook, or something someone attached to an attachment on Facebook, or a comment someone made on Twitter. The thing is, if it seems harsher, sharper, more intense this year, maybe it's the end times, maybe it's the Illuminati, or maybe it's both, or maybe it's this tool reaching mass usage beyond the usual first adapters, innovators, and first users that we don't fully understand yet. You can't stop it. It has to play out in terms of its impact. A lot of people talk about millennials and their reliance on smartphones, but it seems to me the millennials are the ones that are more immune to it because they've adapted to this kind of media a long time ago because they were raised with it. Now, it's the older Gen Xers and baby boomers especially who are most vulnerable to something that they're just discovering like this. So we get into this world where facts become very, very moldable. What is a fact? What does a fact mean? How do you discern a fact's value in relation to all the other information you know about something? What is discernment? Well, it's the ability to obtain sharp perceptions or to judge well. In the case of judgment, discernment can be psychological or moral in nature. In the sphere of judgment, discernment involves going past the mere perception of something and making nuanced judgments about its properties or qualities. Considered as a virtue, a discerning individual is considered to possess wisdom and be of good judgment, especially in regard to subject matter often overlooked by others. Is the public discerning these days, or are we losing the ability to discern? Think of it like a movie trailer. It was a world dominated by tribes. He was shunned, punished, even banished. Time changed, but human nature didn't. But he wasn't afraid. He transcended. What keeps us from solving problems? Fear and ignorance. Fear and ignorance at work. Fear and ignorance at home. Fear and ignorance in the community. And it's everywhere. It isn't just in one part of the political spectrum. It's everywhere. We deal with our fear and ignorance, usually, by attaching ourselves to a person or institution or thing that has all the answers. So we don't have to necessarily answer anything. We can just be part of this thing, and it eases our fears. But what it does is, it just suppresses the fear and hides the ignorance. How do we transcend fear? Fear of the unknown, fear of the unfamiliar, fear of getting old, fear of the future. You can fill in the blanks about your fears. How do we transcend ignorance? Ignorance of facts, ignorance of history and context, ignorance of specific critical details that really are important to a particular issue or problem that we're trying to solve. How do we combat the inability to discern what is important? How do we know the information that we're getting is good information? How do we tell the difference between entertainment or information that's used to manipulate versus information that gives us real information and context and helps us transcend and helps us solve problems? And we're going to leave it there because that's really what it's all about, I think. I think that's what politics is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about rhetoric and arguing and winning an argument. It's supposed to be coming together to solve problems. And we're not doing that. We're rooting for teams. We're rooting for chariot teams and soccer teams. It's like sports. And I don't think it's going to end well, but I guess we'll have to see. So that's going to do it for this installment of the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. So looking forward to another week of podcasting next week. And then I'll be back here next week with some more excerpts from the podcast that I've done during the week on the various things that are going on. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. That's going to do it for this installment. For all the Bob Davis podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. For more of this show, visit GCNLive.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show.
Have you ever had a dream that you could do so you could do you.
it is. Thanks for listening to podcast 499, the 26th episode of the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. I love posting it for the weekend because it's kind of just a week in review and kind of an example of the just the general trend of thinking in the podcasts for the week. And I love doing that. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thanks for listening to the radio show right now on AM 1280, The Patriot in Minneapolis and St. Paul. As I get more affiliates, I'll let you know. And of course, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast and this show on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, GCNLive.com, as well as blogtalkradio.com. And thank you for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and subscribing at thebobdavispodcast.com. I am bdavis7843 on the gram Instagram. If you're interested, I love Instagram. It's my favorite social media. And of course, thanks for your donations for mobile podcast command at thebobdavispodcast.com. That just goes for Komodo Dragon coffee and beef jerky and fuel for summer operations in 2016 and more details coming on that. So there you go.